Purpose and Prayer by E.M. Bounds. The original book does not have any headings for the chapter, so I will try my best to remember to put in the chapter titles in the most recent printing, though I'm reading from an older book. There is 13 chapters in this book. I will read the chapter titles in case I forget to include them down the road. Chapter 1, Prayer is a Keynote. Chapter 2, Prayer Can Change God's Purpose. Chapter 3, Prayer Has Conditions. Chapter 4, Attitudes Regarding Prayer. Chapter 5, Prayer Has No Substitutes. Chapter 6, Characteristics of True Prayer. Chapter 7, Pray Always. Chapter 8, Men Are Called to Pray. Chapter 9, The Possibilities of True Prayer. Chapter 10, Hindrances to Prayer. Chapter 11, Prayer Opens Up Divine Resources. Chapter 12, Prayer Undergirds Revivals. Chapter 13, Christ Commanded Us to Pray. This is being read by Peter John Parisis, also known as Brian Dean. Introduction. Edward Mackenzie Bounds was born in Shelby County, Missouri, August 15, 1835, and died August 24, 1913, in Washington, Georgia. He received a common school education at Shelbyville and was admitted to the bar soon after his majority. He practiced law until called to preach the gospel at age of 24. His first pastorate was Monticello, Missouri Circuit. It was while serving as pastor of Brunswick, Missouri, that war was declared, and the young minister was made a prisoner of war because he would not take the oath of allegiance to the federal government. He was sent to St. Louis and later transferred to Memphis, Tennessee. Finally securing his release, he traveled on foot nearly 100 miles to join General Pierce's command in Mississippi, and was soon after made chaplain of the 5th Missouri Regiment, a position he held until near the close of the war, when he was captured and held as prisoner at Nashville, Tennessee. After the war, Reverend E.M. Bounds was pastor of churches in Tennessee and Alabama. In 1875, he was assigned to St. Paul Methodist Church in St. Louis and served there for 4 years. In 1876, he was married to Miss Emily Barnett in Alabama, who died 10 years later. In 1887, he was married to Miss Hattie Barnett, who, with 5 children, survives him. After serving several pastorates, he was sent to the First Methodist Church in St. Louis, Missouri, for 1 year, and to St. Paul Methodist Church for 3 years. At the end of his pastorate, he became the editor of the St. Louis Christian Advocate. He was a forceful writer and a very deep thinker. He spent the last 17 years of his life with his family in Washington, Georgia. Most of the time he was reading, writing, and praying. He rose at 4 a.m. each day for many years and was indefatigable in his study of the Bible. His writings were read by thousands of people and were in demand by the church people of every Protestant denomination. Bounds was the embodiment of humility, with a seraphic devotion to Jesus Christ. He reached that high place where self is forgotten, and the love of God and humanity was the all-absorbing thought and purpose. At 76 years of age, he came to me in Brooklyn, New York, and so intense was he that he woke us up at 3 o'clock in the morning praying and weeping over the loss of the earth. All during the day, he would go into the church next door and be found on his knees until called for his meals. This is what he called the business of praying. Infused with this heavenly ozone, he wrote Preacher in Prayer, a classic in its line, and now gone into several foreign languages, read by men and women all over the world. In 1909, while Reverend A.C. Dixon was preaching in Dr. Broughton's Tabernacle, Atlanta, Georgia, I sent him a copy of Preacher and prayer by bounds. Hear what he says. This little book was given me by a friend. I received another copy at Christmas from another friend. Well, thought I, there must be something worthwhile in the little book or two of my friends who would not have selected the same present for me. So I read the first page until I came to the words, "Man is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. Man is God's method." That was enough for me, and my appetite demanded more until the book was finished with pleasure. This present volume is a companion work and reflects the true spirit of a man whose business it was to live the gospel that he preached. He was not a luminary, but a son, and takes his place with Brainerd and Bramwell as untiring intercessors with God. H.W. Hodge. Chapter 1. Prayer is a keynote. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be, the mightier the forces against the evil everywhere. Prayer, in one phase of its operation, is a disinfectant and a preventative. It purifies the air. It destroys the contagions of evil. Prayer is no fitful, short-lived thing. It is no voice crying unheard and unheeded in the silence. It is a voice which goes into God's ear, and it lives as long as God's ear is open to holy pleas, as long as God's heart is alive to holy things. God shapes the world by prayer. Prayers are deathless. The lips that utter them may be closed in death. The heart that felt them may have ceased to beat. But the prayers live before God, and God's heart is set on them. And prayers outlive the lives of those who utter them. Outlive a generation, outlive an age, outlive a world. That man is the most immortal who has done the most and the best praying. They are God's heroes, God's saints, God's servants, God's vicegerents. A man can pray better because of the prayers of the past. A man can live holier because of the prayers of the past. The man of many and acceptable prayers has done the truest and greatest service to the incoming generation. The prayers of God's saints strengthen the unborn generation against the desolating waves of sin and evil. Woe to the generation of sons who find their censers empty of rich incense of prayer, whose fathers have been too busy or too unbelieving to pray, and pearls inexpressible and consequences untold are their unhappy heritage. Fortunate are they whose fathers and mothers have left them a wealthy paramount of prayers. The prayer of God's saints are the capital stock in heaven by which Christ carries on his great work upon earth. The great thrones and mighty convulsions on earth are the results of their prayers. Earth is changed, revolutionized. Angels move on more powerful, more rapid wing, and God's policy is shaped as the prayers are more numerous, more efficient. It is true that the mightiest successes that come to God's cause are created and carried on by prayer. God's day of power, the angelic days of activity and power, are when God's church comes into its mightiest inheritance of mightiest faith and mightiest prayer. God's conquering days are when the saints have given themselves to mighty prayer. When God's house on earth is a house of prayer, then God's house in heaven is busy and all-potent in its plans and movements. Then his earthly armies are clothed with the triumphs and spoils of victory, and his enemies defeated on every hand. God conditions the very life and prosperity of his cause on prayer. The condition was put in the very existence of God's cause in this world. Ask of me is the one condition God puts in the very advance and triumph of his cause. Men are to pray for the advance of God's cause. Prayer puts God in full force in the world. To a prayerful man, God is present in realized form. To a prayerful church, God is present in glorious power. And the second Psalms is the divine description of the establishment of God's cause through Jesus Christ. All inferior dispensations have merged in the enthronement of Jesus Christ. God declares the enthronement of His Son. The nations are incensed with bitter hatred against His cause. God is described as laughing at their enfeebled hate. The Lord will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. Quote, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." Unquote. The decree has passed, immutable and eternal. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said unto me, "Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thy inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Ask of me is the condition of praying people willing and obedient. Quote, "And men shall pray for him continually." Unquote. Until this universal and simple promise, men and women of old lay themselves out for God. They prayed, and God answered their prayers, and the cause of God was kept alive in the world by the flame of their praying. Prayer became a settled and only condition to move His Son's kingdom. Quote, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened." Unquote. The strongest one in Christ's kingdom is he who is the best knocker. The secret of success in Christ's kingdom is the ability to pray. The one who can wield the power of prayer is the strong one, the holy one in Christ's kingdom. The most important lesson we can learn is how to pray. Prayer is the keynote of the most sanctified life, of the holiest ministry. He does the most for God who is the highest skilled in prayer. Jesus Christ exercised His ministry after this order. Okay, that's the end of chapter 1. They do make a reference to Psalms chapter 2, and I'm curious, so I'm going to read Psalms chapter 2. "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." End of Psalms 2, end of chapter 1, and purpose of prayer being read by Peter John Parisius, also known as Brian Dean, founder of the School of Prayer.